This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Today's stories include Kingdom Hearts movie rumors, Housemarque teases Returnal news, and Switch 2 Joy-Cons might have more buttons. We'll have all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, April 29th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Oye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy, Tim Ma. Gettys.
Oh man, bless. What an exciting day.
Changes to Kinda Funny.
Some of the biggest changes we've ever made. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should definitely check out our programming update video that should be on anywhere that you're looking at Kinda Funny content. It's on the YouTube channels, on Twitter, everywhere. So go check that out.
Are you feeling now that the news is out, now that people know?
We've been playing this
for a
good,
very long time and thinking about it for a very long time.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot, Bless.
Oh,
you know what I mean? How many meetings have we had? How many big conversations have we had about all this? But we believe in it a lot. I'm really excited. And yeah, it's really nice to have it out there and have everybody react so positively. So yeah, this is going to be a great time. And it all starts today, right now.
What are the big beats for the people who might not have seen the video or people who are just downloading the KFGD podcast or hearing us talk about it for the first time? Of course, KFGD continues to be every single day during the week at 10 a.m. live and then everywhere else on YouTube, podcast services, all that. But then also, right after KFGD, you got Kinda Funny Gamescast happening daily.
Yes,
at
so the
11
idea, the idea is live every day on Twitch and YouTube from 10 to 11. It's going to be Games Daily talking about the news. And then from 11 to 12, it's the Kinda Funny Gamescast talking about reviews, previews, predictions, discussion topics, whatever we want it to be. This means that there will no longer be PS I Love You or Xcast, but all of those PlayStation and Xbox conversations will be happening on the daily games cast, and the daily streams are still going to happen right after that. Game Showdown still happening, so none of that's changing. But the biggest change besides the daily games cast is all of our Kinda Funny content, whether it's video game related or movie related or KF podcast, anything, it will all be on the Kinda Funny Games YouTube channel now. That'll be our main channel for all of our main content. And the Kinda Funny channel is being turned into a highlights channel for shorter 20-minute or less pieces of content for people that just want to get the best of the best and the different topics than having to sit down for an entire show. So really excited.
Hell yeah. And I'm very excited. Of course, daily games cast, but we're going to do our farewell episodes of Kinda Funny Xcast and PS I Love You later this week. I'm excited to kind of expound on it more on that, like, final PS I Love You slash, like, I guess, first PlayStation themed Kinda Funny games cast, because I'm very happy for these changes. You know, like, I think PS I Love You slash Beyond for me was such an important podcast, Beyond in particular, because I think that was the first podcast that I engaged with on a weekly basis. Like, I was listening to Beyond every single week, and then when that turned into Kinda Funny and that turned into PS I Love You, I was listening every single week, right? And so it was so special to join Kinda Funny and then to get to host PS I Love You with Greg. And now that we're here and we're making this change, I couldn't be more happy.
for the
fact that, like, I think video games have changed so much.
Yep.
And like, there are more similarities between Xboxes and PlayStations than there ever have been before. And like, there would be some weeks where I hate the fact that I'm like, damn, I'm locked into PlayStation conversation when we could be talking about Nintendo stuff. Or like, I would love to talk more about Halo and Forza and like the things I like playing on Xbox, right? And I love that we have a venue now where it is Gamescast has so much space to talk about all the things we want to talk about.
Yep.
And so I'm sure we're going to talk about this a lot as we move forward with this and as we get into more Gamescast episodes and actually give you guys the examples of what this looks like, right? Like, I'm very excited for the Gamescast later today that I'm going to listen to live because, of course, Todd Howard of Bethesda is coming through. One-on-one interview with Greg Miller. I can't wait.
And that's the thing, too, just real quick. I don't want to, like, go over every single thing. But, yeah, this week is a whole bunch of bangers. We got Todd Howard interview today. We have the Fallout show spoiler cast tomorrow. We have the final PS I Love You and final X-Cast kind of goodbye episodes. Paris is flying up to be here in studio for that. And then Friday, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth spoiler cast, baby.
I was trying to figure out. It's so funny because I was looking at the calendar this morning. And Roger's like, man, it's a pretty busy day. And then Roger looks at the calendar and is like, I guess you don't have as much busy of a day. And I'm like, yeah, I guess for me, it's just kind of funny games daily, which is funny because like I was looking at this change of, oh man, I'm going to be so busy now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have like the rest of the day. And I'm like, okay, well, do I work on Game Showdown stuff? Like, what am I going to do? And then like remembering that we have the spoiler cast, I'm like, dude, I'm going to watch every cutscene from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth
Hell yeah,
again.
Dude.
And get spruced up on it. And I'm going to spruce up on the Fallout TV show. This is so great.
Yeah.
I'm
so thank you all for joining us on this ride, and we hope that you're going to love it. We think you're going to love it. I know you're going to love it.
Hell yeah. I also know that they're going to love today's episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, this is KFGD. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, today, after Kind of Funny Games Daily, you'll get Gamescast, which is a one-on-one interview with Greg Miller and Todd Howard. That's going down live on Twitch and YouTube and will be up right after on podcast services around the globe. And then after that, the Kind of Funny stream will be Greg and a crew of Helldivers, including Kevin, Gary Witta, and more, celebrating Greg's birthday. That's happening right here on Twitch and YouTube. If you're a Kind of Funny member, today's Greg Way is about the biggest Kind of Funny programming day change since we launched Kind of Funny Games Daily. And so I think Greg mentioned that you should ask him your questions if you have any more FAQs out there. Get him to Greg. He'll talk all about it on today's Greg Way, which you can catch later on Patreon today. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Aura Frames, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one. Tim, a Kingdom Hearts movie is reportedly in the works. This is Kenneth Shepherd at Kotaku. Kingdom Hearts, Square Enix's Disney cross Final Fantasy crossover, which is that an accurate way to describe it?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy? I guess same spells and all that shit. And I guess Cloud is in it. I guess I never looked at Sora as like a Final Fantasy character. I'm like,
Sora's not. But like all the Final Fantasy characters. I mean, in more recent games, they haven't been. Kingdom Hearts 1, like.
But I've always seen them as cameos.
I mean.
Like for me, if you'd asked me, oh, what's Kingdom Hearts? I would have been like, oh, it's a JRPG that features Mickey Mouse.
No.
I would have been like Kingdom Hearts cross Final Fantasy.
Definitively, it is a Disney Final Fantasy crossover series.
I never thought about that. But I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I guess all the spells, all the stuff is there.
Over the years, they've gotten less and less. But like, but Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, I mean, like the entire cast of Final Fantasy 7, 8, like they're all just there.
But they're just like, they're in the fucking Hercules land, you know? Like you run into them there and they don't appear.
They're everywhere. They're in Hollow Bastion. They're in the Traverse Town.
I guess so. I guess I played Kingdom Hearts before I played any Final Fantasy.
So
I think that's why I don't.
Yeah,
I never thought about it that way.
They did rename some of the characters awkwardly. Like, I don't know what's going on. I was always really pissed because Final Fantasy X was my first Final Fantasy. I absolutely love it. Riku was one of my favorite characters. Riku with two Ks. And the cousin of Yuna, obviously.
Of course.
And then there is a Riku in Kingdom Hearts, one of the main characters. Only one K, though. And I was like, y'all are. These characters are too close to each other. In games that are coming out too close to each other to be doing this shit. Riku with 2Ks got...
Get out of here.
No, you know? No. Riku 1K, get out of here. Riku 2Ks.
Oh, you only YRP. Ride for 2K, Riku.
Yeah.
Damn. Hate to see it. The Disney Cross Final Fantasy crossover has been around so long, it's surprising we haven't gotten some kind of animated series or film before now. Things got close at one point about 20 years ago, and you can find a rough animatic of the pilot featuring the original game's voice talent. But according to rumors, something on a much bigger scale might be in the works over at Disney, an animated theatrical film. The source of this is Disney-centric outlet Diz Insider. Site founder Skylar Schuler wrote about the Kingdom Hearts movie in a mailbag post, saying sources had told the site a film adaptation of the crossover RPGs could be heading to theaters in the future. The project started as something that would be released on the Disney Plus streaming service, but the Diz Insider says more recently it has heard that the goal was to have something on the big screen. This lines up with another report from film industry insider Daniel RPK, who claimed a Kingdom Hearts adaptation was in the works at Disney on April 26th. However, according to Diz Insider, nothing has been greenlit. So this may still be another animated Kingdom Hearts project that goes nowhere. Tim, I want to know what you think. I also want to hear from the Super Chats. Would you want a Kingdom Hearts movie? Why or why not? I'm curious on what the audience thinks. But Tim, what do you think?
Oh, I want this more than anything, and I want it now more than ever. We've seen so many great adaptations of games. We've been talking about this a lot, Bless. I am annoying at this point about how excited I am about this happening. Fallout, I am 2 episodes away from finishing Fallout Season 1. A game that I never played, but now a world that I am in love with, and the show is so good. Obviously, you can talk about Last of Us, you can talk about Mario, you can talk about Twisted Goddamn Metal. The list goes on and on. Roger was just telling us he finished Knuckles. The Knuckles series is all out now on Paramount Plus, and he loved it. And I just feel like we're in a great place right now, and Kingdom Hearts deserves a lot of love. I love what they're talking about here. If there originally was going to be a Disney Plus thing, but now it's like, all right, let's actually put more into this and make it a movie, if this is all real. Who actually knows? Mm-hmm. But that lines up with the strategy that Disney has had in recent times with its streaming service versus more theatrical releases and all the change-ups with Bob Iger and all that, of just like how they've been looking at the Disney pipeline of content. I think a Kingdom Hearts movie, a theatrical release movie, could hit so hard. There's obviously such a ravenous fan base for Kingdom Hearts, and I feel like there is such a fan base for Disney in general, and Disneyland, and Disney adults, Disney everything.
Yeah.
That if we can, in the same way I fell in love with Fallout through the show, if they can get all the Disney motherfuckers out there to fall in love with Kingdom Hearts through a movie, which they will, that's going to be huge for Kingdom Hearts as a franchise.
I think we're already at the place where when I talk to so many Disney adults, they already fuck with Kingdom Hearts, right? And I think that's the perfect, it's the perfect idea that I'm surprised on one hand we've got not gotten yet. It feels like such a easy, oh yeah, we put all these Disney characters in a movie together, and like also have the magic of Kingdom Hearts, right? Like it is that weird combination of Disney magic but then also Final Fantasy magic, right? Hey, you got like the melodramatic characters, you have like the power of friendship that's highly represented in these things, right? You mix that with the nostalgic power of Mickey Mouse and Toy Story and Finding Nemo. Maybe put Star Wars in there. Maybe put Marvel in there if you wanted. There's so much you can do with a Kingdom Hearts movie in terms of activating that love and, like, I guess magic and nostalgia that Disney just has, right, naturally. You can do that so well in a Kingdom Hearts movie. It feels like such a slam dunk.
Absolutely, but there is another take on this where you just keep it simple and clean. You don't even get to all the Disney stuff. You just stick just to the Kingdom Hearts original characters and the story that they have going. And I think they could find a lot of success with that. Obviously,
like without the Disney characters?
Yeah, just more of like the with where we're at with how expanded the world is of the Organization 13 and just like the entire crew that we have. Like I feel like there's enough Kingdom Hearts unique IP that they don't need all the Disney stuff. I know I'm sounding crazy here, but it's like, I'm just saying, like, in terms of being realistic about what this could actually be, I think it's going to be a much tougher sell for Disney to go all in on allowing all their worlds to be visited and all that stuff.
You think so?
I do, but I also think at the end of the day, they'll figure it out. I just think that we just got to be realistic about not expecting them to jump to like 15 different Disney worlds. Uh-huh. Like, I think that it is going to be a bit more pick and choose.
I'll be honest, if they don't do that, I don't know if I want it. It has to be a road trip through all these different Disney worlds, right? And it doesn't have to be like a billion of them. Even if it is,
I could see a montage of like, hey, let's go to like 4 or 5 really quickly.
Oh, it has to be the bulk of the movie for me, man. Like, even if it is like we're sticking to maybe 3 or 4 worlds, but they have to be like me. It has to be Toy Story, Lion King. Like, it has to be like we have to spend substantial time there. I don't want a Kingdom Hearts movie that is 90%. Just us hanging out with only Sora, Riku with 1K, Kyrie.
Yeah, but I mean, so just to be clear, I do think Donald and Goofy would be there. I think Mickey would be part of it. Like, the going to the actual Disney worlds, I think they got to build to that. And I would be shocked to be wrong here. I just don't see the first Kingdom Hearts movie being the Kingdom Hearts 1 game adapted. I think there's just too much content. I would fucking love it.
Yeah.
But I think that there is an opportunity here to sell people on the Kingdom Hearts characters and the Kingdom Hearts story and world, and to keep it simple and clean, simplify everything, and like make it understandable to like people that want to love Kingdom Hearts and love the concept of it, but don't actually like want to play the game. Like, so many of my friends, specifically, like I'm thinking of like Shari, Curran's wife. loves Disney and loves Kingdom Hearts, but has never played and is never going to play Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
You know, this movie could be for her and get her introduced into those worlds. And then maybe one day she'll play the game.
I want to bring in a few super chats here. Mike Dememe says, hey, well, actually, no, I'm going to get to you later because you're talking about challengers. I want to get some Kingdom Hearts ones. Bobby Schulte says, I'm scared they're going to get rid of the Final Fantasy cast. I think that's interesting, right? If we get a Kingdom Hearts movie, I wouldn't expect to see Cloud.
Me neither.
I wouldn't expect to see Sephiroth.
I mean, I think that we all just need to be realistic about what Kingdom Hearts actually is at this point. And they've weaned off the Final Fantasy stuff as much as possible, honestly, in terms of like the characters and worlds being in the game. Like, look at Kingdom Hearts 3. And then also the integration into the Disney worlds, for the most part, kind of feels like a distraction from the main plot of what they're doing. Like, when you're actually playing the game of, like, especially in Kingdom Hearts 1, even thinking about it, it's like, hey, we're in Tarzan's jungle now. And it's, okay, cool, now back to the main plot.
Yeah, but for me, that's the main draw.
I mean, I get it, but you also don't play the games.
I mean, I played the first one, right? Yeah. Like, the first one was important to me. But, like, that's the thing is, if we're doubling down on, hey, we are focusing only on the Kingdom Hearts original characters and we're doing less of the actual Disney adventuring stuff, that for me is so, it was way less appealing than, hey, we're doing it all, right? Yeah. Like, we're adventuring into these worlds. We are going to make Disneyland / Disney World the movie. Mm-hmm. And it is being driven by Kingdom Hearts, right? Like, I think that is the connective tissue of it should be Sora and his story and the characters that we know and, like, making those, that should be the heart of it. But I think the content of it needs to be, we're hanging out in the Lion King world for a second. We're hanging out in Alice in Wonderland. We're hanging out in, like, in these different major Disney locations that you know, because I think that's going to be what gets people through the door. I think when you watch the trailer and you see this anime character with big boots hanging out with Goofy, and you're like, what is this? And you see Lion King, you see Nightmare Before Christmas, like, I think that is what's going to get people who are in the theaters watch these trailers to go, oh, I fucking need to watch this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I'm just preparing everybody for what this is probably going to end up being.
Oh, God, I hope not. Dear Sixlet says, Tim, Kingdom Hearts movie with Advent Children level fights. Think about it.
I mean, I know. That's the thing. It's like, I think that we're underselling the value of what Kingdom Hearts actually already has without all of the Disney stuff. And the Disney stuff is additive, and the more that they can do, the better. But I also feel like being realistic about what this animated movie could be, we're going to talk, 2 hours maximum? There's just not that much time to introduce all these ideas and go on a freaking Disney World globe-trotting adventure. Universe trotting.
But even if it is just 4 universes, like, we don't got to visit every single Disney. Because I understand that, like, you in a, 15-hour video game versus a 2-hour movie, you don't have as much time to explore as many worlds as you visit in a Kingdom Hearts 1. But, like, give me, 3 or 4.
But so here's the other problem with this, and I don't want to go too long on this conversation here, but the thing about Kingdom Hearts, going to the Disney worlds, and this is true of Kingdom Hearts 3, the most recent game, and it's baffling to me. Mm-hmm. The Disney worlds, for the most part, are absolute garbage. We just got to call it what it is.
But it's garbage on a gameplay level.
No, on a story level. You're going through a bastardized version of the movie's plot, and that's it. Sora's dealing with all this real shit.
But if you're not doing that, then what's Kingdom Hearts? I'm just going to sit here and listen to them talk about Organization 13 and the nobodies and all. They rearranged the letters in Sora, so now it says Roxas. Yep. They added an X to it. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
But
I don't
want to
watch a Disney added screen adaptation of that.
But do you want to watch a bad version of Lion King?
I want to see.
They put it out in 2019.
And here's the thing, right? I think both of what we're pitching might not be necessarily make for the best film, but I don't think you're making a Kingdom Hearts movie to be a Oscar nominee. I think you're making it a Kingdom Hearts movie to go, let's hit you with all the nostalgia possible. I think a Kingdom Hearts movie needs to be exactly what a Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be, which is, we're going to go multiverse hopping. We're hanging out with all these, remember this person? Oh, remember this person from X-Men? Oh, here's fucking Xavier. I think a Kingdom Hearts movie needs to be, hey, do you remember the car from Cars? Do you remember Woody and Buzz? They're cool, right? Hey, do you, like, that is what a Kingdom Hearts movie needs to be.
But that's not
what
Kingdom Hearts is.
What's the car from Cars name, Buzz?
Lightning McQueen.
God. Come on, Ka-chow, man.
Come on, man. I didn't even watch Cars. I know that. Sorry, what was that you're saying?
You're pitching something that's not what Kingdom Hearts is.
Is that not what it is?
It's not.
I'm spending most of the time in Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, like you said, redoing these Disney stories.
Yeah.
In like these fast forward ways, sure.
But that's the thing is, like, they're fast.
But that's the content. And then in between that is Sora being like, I'm looking for my friends, and I'm like, all right, cool.
It's not just like that's the bulk of it.
There's Roxas. We like ice cream. We eat popsicles.
Yeah, it's just I just want people to realize that what what the pitch is in the gut check pitch of what a Kingdom Hearts movie would be is just 2 hours of watching 7 different Disney movies on fast forward. And that is not what anybody wants, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it exactly that way. Because I agree that that part of the games is like, all right, cool, whatever. But I do think that you are visiting, in the way I'm envisioning it, you are visiting this world. And you're not doing the story of Lion King over again. But it is like, oh man, this, you're saying what's up to Simba. And Simba is helping you along the quest. And then like getting you to where you need to go to then say get to the Alice the Wonderland world. And like, I think you can fix a lot of the problems that Kingdom Hearts has.
What you're pitching is amazing. And I would, that to me is a dream and I would love that.
Yeah.
But it's Kingdom Hearts blessing. They're not going to fix anything. They've done what they're doing. Yeah, we know what this is. They're only going to give us more of this thing. They're not all of a sudden going to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe the Frozen world shouldn't just be Frozen. And maybe we shouldn't have them play through the entirety of the Let It Go sequence. Because that's what it's going to be.
Here's my question now.
Elsa's going to sing the whole song, bless.
Because like, I didn't think about this question until now that we're having this discussion. Mm-hmm. Is there any way this movie is incredible?
Yeah.
What's the way?
Incredible meaning like, I think like, it could be incredible movie, for a Kingdom Hearts movie, yes.
How do you compare that to like any other Disney anime?
I mean, a dope-ass anime movie. Sick-ass fight scenes, like cool-ass get-hype moments and like character dynamics of friendship and love and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
They're going to do it, man.
I want to believe in it. But yeah, like I am looking at this the way I look at a Deadpool or the way I look at anything that is... what's the one... Ready Player One, which I never watched, but what I imagine Ready Player One is like, that's what I am looking. I'm more invested in just Kingdom Hearts as an idea. Like, I like that it has more of a JRPG / I guess if you put it on screen anime slant to it. Like that for me is more intriguing than what Ready Player One does. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Give me these fucking Final Fantasy characters hanging out with Mickey and going to Alice in Wonderland. That's good enough for me. But I don't know if I can go to this expecting the world of it just based on what we're talking about it being.
Yeah.
I think it is a tall task, but also I'll go, I'll watch it day one.
Oh yeah, you will.
Popcorn, yeah. All that stuff. Tim, let's keep talking about Kingdom Hearts with story number two.
Wow.
Kingdom Hearts 4 might be releasing in 2025, and insider claims. This is George Yang at GameSpot. The long-awaited Kingdom Hearts 4 might be coming sooner than anticipated. If an insider is to be believed, the game is reportedly releasing in 2025. According to Twitter user Daniel RPK, the latest mainline entry in the Kingdom Hearts series is due out next year. It was reportedly also in development for the past 4 years. Daniel RPK also recently leaked that a follow-up to Sonic Frontiers was in development. The prominent Sega leaker Midori corroborated this, adding that this apparent game may not necessarily be called Sonic Frontiers 2. It reportedly has the same 3D and open-world gameplay style. Not many details about Kingdom Hearts 4 have been revealed, not even the release window or intended platforms. We do know, however, that the game is being built on Unreal Engine 5. My question for you, Tim, and to the chat as well is, do you believe Kingdom Hearts 4 could hit by next year?
Absolutely. I think it hits next year. I feel like this isn't a surprise to me either. Like, I feel like when we see the rate at which Square has been able to pump out their biggest games, Final Fantasy 16 and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth and Final Fantasy 7 Remake, to even add to that, it's been a long time since Kingdom Hearts 3. And I feel like the fact that we even got this trailer, that Kingdom Hearts 4 was announced when it was, yeah, I think that we're a lot further along and closer to Kingdom Hearts 4 than we are far away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not expecting like a 2027 release date or something like that.
I mean, depending on the validity of the previous story, if they're, say, in early talks about a Kingdom Hearts movie, that'll probably put a Kingdom Hearts movie at maybe like 2 to 3 to 4 years away. I think, yeah, like having a Kingdom Hearts 4 out by next year to kind of be the lead into it. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really good timing. And yeah, like to your point, the Kingdom Hearts 4 reveal trailer was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It feels like we got this trailer so long ago. The thing that weirds me out about it a little bit is that we've not gotten a peep about Kingdom Hearts 4 since then. So I'm curious.
Which I think is good.
I also think that's a good thing, right? Because it feels like, okay, you guys are just in the lab cooking. You guys are making this thing. When do we see it pop up becomes the question.
D23.
If we see it at, D23. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was thinking at Summer Game Fest. But D23 would be fascinating.
Summer Game Fest would be huge. I
think it would be
expected, but it could happen.
I feel like it'd be a better venue, right? Like the D23 gaming showcase that we got last time. I feel like a Kingdom Hearts level of announcement there would have brought it to another level, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think the announcements we got there were good, but, and this is me being biased because I'm a host, I hosted it, but, like, I almost feel like a Kingdom Hearts 4 re-reveal you would put at a Summer Game Fest and then save D23 for maybe a follow-up. All right, here's more gameplay, or here's a special new detail. Here's a reveal of one of the worlds we're going to. I feel like that's a D23 level thing, whereas a Kingdom Hearts 4, we're putting it back on the map. All right, we're beginning that marketing rollout. That, to me, is Summer Game Fest or some kind of big event, maybe even Game Awards this year.
I mean, I think Disney sees D23 as bigger than Summer Game Fest, and I mm-hmm. totally imagine if the timing works out that they want to have that to themselves. It's just a question of, are they going to do another game showcase? But I think Kingdom Hearts doesn't need it. Kingdom Hearts can just do its own thing. There is history with Jeff Keighley and Kingdom Hearts. Like, the first time we played Kingdom Hearts 3 was at a Keighley event. It was Judges Day. Judges Week, so before Play Days, but essentially Judges Week was Summer Game Fest Play Days, like, beta. You know what I mean?
What about PlayStation Showcase?
That could happen too. I mean, Kingdom Hearts 3 was announced at Sony's press conference at E3 2013.
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and Final Fantasy 15. Same conference. What a fucking legendary-ass conference
that was.
What
a wild conference.
Yeah.
I'm feeling summer. I don't know why, but I'm feeling it.
This summer, Kingdom Hearts 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could make sense.
I think now that I say the words PlayStation Showcase out loud, I would even think maybe that over a Jeff Keighley thing, but I don't know. I think somewhere, though. I think there's plenty of venues for something. I think there's plenty big enough venues for something like that to show up. Or they just drop it. Like, they just drop the trailer, because I don't put that past them either.
Mr. Hawk says, what about Xbox's June event?
I mean...
I think that's
a valid place too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would not be surprised. I think Xbox has too much going on that Kingdom Hearts is the type of thing that overshadows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the moment that you utter those words, the chat gets feral. So you got to be careful. There's very few games that have that level of, it's a good toxicity for the most part, but it's toxic. Mm-hmm. But Elden Ring, Kingdom Hearts, and Hollow Knight, I think are like, three games that have a unique aura to them.
Yeah. Like, it's like Kendrick Lamar, you know?
Yeah.
It's the, like, big three. The big three. That is the big three of highly anticipated video games. It's like, you just have a scary aura to you. Nobody wants to diss you. Let's move on to story number three. Housemarque teases something for Returnal's 3-year anniversary this week. I'm pulling from George Yang at GameSpot. Returnal developer Housemarque has teased something for the game's 3-year anniversary, which is April 30th. On Twitter, Housemarque posted a cryptic picture of what looks to be the main protagonist, Celine, and her eyes reflected on a piece of shattered glass. The picture also says tomorrow, which references the game was first released in 2021, or the date the game was first released in 2021. It's unclear what might be coming. Returnal has already gotten a Steam port, as well as the Ascension DLC. Of course, there's always a possibility that it's simply just additional DLC. Tim, do you have any thoughts on what this could be?
I don't. I think it's cool. I mean, anniversaries we've seen in the past can be absolutely nothing, and what seems to be a tease could end up just being, hey, we're just being cheeky and, like, celebrating the fact that it's the anniversary. But in recent times, I feel like there has been a shift that things have happened for game anniversaries. So do you have any thoughts on this?
When I saw this morning, I didn't put it immediately together. This is Returnal. The font where it says tomorrow is very Returnal, and the eyes look like they could be Celine's eyes. And so, like, I had that thought of, all right, like, is it Returnal 2? Like, is this a new game that they're announcing?
But, bless, please. Returnal.
Sorry. Returnal. But one, they mentioned that they're working on a new IP, right? And so I don't think that Returnal 2 is in the books right now. And then also, if you're announcing a new game as Housemarque, I would think you wouldn't just drop it. You wouldn't just announce it on Twitter. You would save it for a state of play, a PlayStation showcase, or some kind of event. And so I'm taking that off the table, saying this is Returnal because you look at the font, you look at the eyes, and you're like, this seems like it's very much a Returnal thing. What could they? It could be more DLC, but Ascension was already dropped, and I don't know what more you do. The eyes maybe could be indicative of VR.
So that's the thing. Yeah, people are saying that it. On the image, it says VR. I'm not seeing that anywhere. VR is, I think, one of the more likely things, but it's also kind of hard to believe, right? It seems like PlayStation's just given up on PlayStation VR. But with that notwithstanding, looking at this, I think VR is the safest bet, right?
But here's the thing with PlayStation VR is that you're right. It feels like they've given up. But I've always been of the mind that, we got VR, PSVR 2 last year in like February. It's been a year and some months since we got PlayStation VR 2. The only first party IP game that we got was Horizon Call of the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I am shocked. Like the lack of first party support that we saw for VR. Like, of course, we got updates. We got Gran Turismo and stuff like that. But I would have expected, even if as PlayStation, you launch PSVR 2 and you're like, oh man, now this isn't hitting. Let's pivot off of it. There would have already been things in the works, you would think, leading up to something like that. And so, like, I've been waiting for whatever other PlayStation first-party dev that has been working on something for VR to actually come out and announce it. I think that would make sense if Returnal or if Housemarque was already working on something. It is, all right, it's time. It's ready. Let's put it out. But my question is, are we just playing regular Returnal in VR, and does that work in VR? That is such a fast-paced, action-y game.
Yeah.
But also, it's the kind of game that would look hot in VR.
It would.
It's a good-looking game.
And I think that Housemarque is the type of dev that somebody there might have had an idea of, like, look, I was tinkering.
Yeah.
This is fun. And then they're like, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, I can see that all happening. And will it be a perfect experience for everybody? No, it definitely won't. But will some people really dig whatever this is if it is real and in VR? Yeah, man. Like, again, I go back to Resident Evil 4. And all of what Capcom's done with the VR, where it's like Resident Evil 4 in VR is simultaneously the definitive way to play that game and a way that I can't imagine anybody actually playing through that game. But that's just because VR is tricky. But a full console game that I would be like, there's no way that game could ever work in VR, it does. So Returnal, for as action-paced as it is and everything, it could work.
I think it could work maybe if you tweak it somehow. That's the thing, is I go back to a video I watched from... it was Valve, but I think it might have been like a NoClip thing, but it was Valve talking about how in working on Half-Life Alyx, Portal came to mind of, oh, we should put Portal in VR, and they just couldn't figure it out because of how flinging yourself through portals and all that shit works. It makes you throw up, right? Like, it's not feasible to make that in a way that doesn't get people sick. Returnal is the kind of game where you are dashing in air, you are moving all around the space that you're in to try and like dodge all this bullet hell stuff coming at you. I can't for the life of me think about how that would work in VR unless you do a lot like major tweaks to it, which maybe they could.
Maybe.
But how much do you tweak Returnal until it becomes a different game?
Because it's not just translating it to VR, it's also translating it from a third person game to a first person aspect. Game. Unless that's not something that they...
Resident Evil, same thing.
Yeah. But Resident Evil is like slower paced.
Yeah.
It's horror. Like I think that works in VR in a way that I am so fascinated to see if they can figure that out with Returnal.
Totally.
I try it. I might throw up, but I try it.
Mm-hmm.
Tim.
Yes.
Patreon.com/kindoffunny is a place people can go if they want to get the show ad-free, because there they can get the Kind of Funny membership, which they can also get on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where we put all of our content. And speaking of the Kind of Funny membership and ads, here's a word from our sponsors.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. How do I, Greg Miller from Kinda Funny, know so much about Aura? Because I just gave Jen one for her birthday. I used the QR code on the box to preload it with photos of her and Benny. And when she booted it up for the first time, she got to see a sweet little message from me. I like this frame so much that I am actually legitimately buying one for my mother for Mother's Day. From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping for their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY at checkout to save. And mom, if you see this before you get your Aura frame for Mother's Day, please act surprised.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. And we're going to move on to the next story. But Barrett, I do want you to bring up footage of the Doom VR game because somebody mentioned it in chat. And I don't think I've ever looked at footage of it. Oh, here we go. You already got it. Because I want to see how fast this game moves. Huh, this looks cool. Oh, yeah. So they're doing the blink thing. You know what, man? Maybe keep the Returnal VR game. I don't want to be blinking around.
You don't want to be blinking.
Keep that shit. You know what I mean? No, I'm curious to see what they do with it. So let's move on to story number four. Peripheral firm claims that Switch 2 Joy-Cons use electromagnetic suction and that it has extra buttons. This is Chris Golian at Video Games Chronicle. Barrett, I have linked a video that demonstrates...
we allowed to show suction demonstrations on Twitch?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this kind of suction, we got it. We're good. Okay. We're good. Okay. I'll text my people. Be like, be cool.
The
right?
Suckening.
But yeah, they show off EPM suction. Switch peripheral maker MobaPad claims to have new information on the Switch 2, particularly with regards to its controllers. The Chinese company, which specializes in making Switch controllers, claims to have acquired a lot of first-hand information about the Switch 2 as it makes preparations to start creating third-party controllers for Nintendo's next system. According to a new post on MobaPad's blog, the Joy-Cons on the new system will be larger than those on the current Switch and will use magnetic suction instead of the existing sliding rail technology. This follows similar claims from Spanish games website Vandal last week, claiming that the controllers would attach to the console magnetically, though not providing information on how this would work. However, MobaPad says it will be achieved using electromagnetic suction technology controlled by electric current. This may refer to electro-permanent magnet technology, which is a form of suction in which an extremely powerful magnet is controlled with a single electrical pulse, which is what's being demonstrated in the video that Barrett's currently showing.
That thing is sucking incredibly hard.
Yeah, which is what I was wondering on the last KFGD when me and Greg talked about this was, I feel like when you talk about magnets, it's hard for me to imagine that just not disconnecting, right? Like, what kind of magnetic technology are we talking about here? And this video explains it perfectly well, where one, it's fucking powerful, but then also you click one button and it locks into place and you cannot break that shit off. And so it sounds really cool. A single pulse can turn the magnet on, creating a very strong latch, and another pulse can then turn it off, releasing the grip. MobaPad's report also claims that existing Joy-Cons will still be able to connect to the Switch 2 wirelessly, suggesting that even if they can't be attached to the device, they can still connect as extra controllers in multiplayer games, for example. It also says the Joy-Cons will have extra buttons joining the L, R, and ZL and ZR buttons will be a third pair of buttons, while the right Joy-Con will feature an extra function button below the home button. Finally, it suggests the Switch 2 will be backwards compatible with physical and digital Switch games, that the new handheld will support 1080p resolution, and that the new dock will support 4K resolution.
I'm loving everything I'm hearing here. First off, I want to shout out MobaPad. They are the company that makes the MobaPad HD6, which is the end of the Tim Gettys journey of trying to find the greatest pro Joy-Cons that exist.
Hell yeah.
And it's MobaPad. They're the ones that did it. So shout out to them. I'm really interested in this. I'm kind of obsessed with magnets for somebody that's a fucking moron and doesn't really understand how they work or what's going on with them. And I'm still a little confused about how... Growing up, everyone's just like, yo, you can't put magnets near your credit card or else you're going to be super fucked.
And I had the same thing. I'm like, so you're going to put my Switch between two magnets?
But I mean, my wallet my Switch? With my credit cards in it is a magnet and it attaches to my phone and there's just no problem.
Cool.
You know, I believe in magnets in a way that I never have in recent years where just everything's magnetic and it just doesn't get in the way of things, doesn't interfere. This stuff sounds like some next level shit, which I'm excited about.
Can you bring up the video and go to the 1 minute mark and play with sound? Because I think that's where he gets to the point where he clicks the button and you can hear the latch.
I hate the Joy-Cons, how they slide in and they click perfectly, but then they always just feel a little wiggly. This potentially could super solve that. The talk of third buttons on the shoulders does not sound great, but I don't think that's what it is. I think it is the just having the back paddle buttons.
Which it goes back to a conversation me and Greg were having. We were talking about a pro controller specifically, if they're going to do a new pro controller or not, and what features a new pro controller could even have. And one of the things I mentioned was paddles. And Greg's like, that's too hardcore. If the idea is for Switch 2, hey, no, we're just making paddles anyway, just as another feature of the Switch, because I think more and more that's becoming a regular thing. We've gotten way more control. We've gotten Elite controllers. The PlayStation Edge has paddles now. Like, the Steam Deck naturally comes with paddles. I think it's starting to make more sense to just put it in there.
Me too. And MobiPad themselves, like, one of the reasons I love the controllers, they are amazing back paddles. So this is all exciting news to me. I was watching Andres Restart break this down over the weekend. And there was a big conversation about the theory that this might change the name of the Switch. And like, they were talking about it potentially being called the Switch Attach. And please don't do that.
Oh.
Just please don't do that.
The conversation I was having with Greg was, do we still get the, like, is it still that? Because that came from sliding it on. And I think with the, like, watching the video, I was like, oh no, there's a snap.
Position, there's no magnetic field. It's not gripping the target at all.
And now he's about to turn it on.
I can turn it on. Now, nothing has happened yet. I haven't actually activated the EPMs, but when I press this button,
boom, the EPMs
trigger. And now I can lift this whole plate and establish a magnetic grip force.
Oh, my God.
Now, which is pretty
magnetic
cool.
Magnetic grip force. This is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
All right.
And you still have a snap sound there that you can brand around, which I love.
I love magnets. I love this. I love back paddles. I love Nintendo doing 4K docked. Come on, man. Please have all this be real.
I like what we're hearing here. I'm so fascinated about the magnets because I'm like you. I don't think I'm as obsessed with magnets with you.
Dude, I'm obsessed.
But I do really like magnets. Magnets are just fucking cool.
They're so sick.
And so, yeah, like, put some magnets on there. I'm so curious on the idea of another function button. Like, what other kinds of functions? Is that, I guess if you're talking about maybe the third back buttons being paddles, maybe the new function button is assigning those controls.
Yeah,
like the DualSense Edge does that.
Where and so does the MobiPad HD6.
Yeah,
like this is all very interesting stuff.
Very, I hope it's real. Fascinated / excited about it. Let's move on to story number 5. Tekken 8 reveals the second DLC character, brand new story, and more. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. Bandai Namco has revealed its roadmap for Tekken 8 throughout the rest of 2024, including the game's second DLC character, new story, and plenty more. The second DLC character is Lydia Sobieski, who is teased at the end of the roadmap trailer. In the world of Tekken, Lydia is the Prime Minister of Poland, who made her debut in Tekken 7 as DLC in the Season 4 pass. For Tekken 8, Lydia launches this summer, with early access for character year 1 pass owners. Meanwhile, in the fall, a brand new story involving Eddie Gordo launches as a free update. Other additions, including a sweeping balance chain, balance pass in the spring, the first battle balance adjustments for the season are coming soon, with patch notes for the update 1.04 set to be released tomorrow, April 30th, and a new stage, the Seaside Resort, and the photo mode in the summer. Additional modes such as Ghost versus Ghost or Online Practice are planned to be added at a later date, Bandai Namco said. Love all this. Evo Japan just happened, where we got like a bunch of fighting game news. We're going to talk about some of it in Wii news. But yeah, like, Lydia seems like a cool additional character. I don't know much about Lydia because I didn't play all the Tekken 7 DLC. Mm. And so I didn't even recognize her when they announced her. I was like, oh, she looks cool. And I learned she's already been in there. But, you know, love that. Love the idea of getting new story stuff. I wonder if that's going to be a significant, like, an Eddie chapter in the main story, or if we're just adding... Like, there's two different story modes in Tekken 8. Like, there's the main one, but then there's also character-specific stories, which is like a mini arcade mode where you fight 5 characters and then you get a new ending.
Yeah.
Either way, like, I'm down for it, right? I love getting more story. I hope we get more, like, main stuff, because I think you can do really cool stuff with that. And the main story of Tekken with all the cutscenes and shit is so good. It's so cool. And so I would love more of that stuff. But yeah, I'm very excited about this. Cool. I think it sounds cool. Tim, that was a lot of big news.
So big.
But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I look?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
That's right. It's time. Story number 6. We got some Wii News for you. This first one comes from IGN. Manor Lords sells over 1 million in a day and hits the highest ever Steam player concurrence for a city builder. Manor Lords launched on April 26th in early access form and soon rose through the player concurrent ranks on Valve's platform. It hit a peak Steam concurrent player count of 173,178 players. And then from VGC, 2K and WWE Games have unbanned What's the Status, a popular modder who was indefinitely restricted from the online portion of WWE 2K24 last week. Me and Greg talked about that. At Evo Japan, SNK revealed that Marco Rodriguez will be a playable character in the upcoming Fatal Fury City of Wolves. Slayer, the last DLC character of Guilty Gear Strive Season 3, launches in May 30th. Akuma is coming May 22nd to Street Fighter 6. And then, like I mentioned, the Tekken stuff went down. Tencent has significantly increased its shareholding in Remedy Entertainment. The world's largest gaming publisher now holds 2,005,716 shares in the Alan Wake and Control Maker, corresponding to 14.8% of the Finnish company's shares and voting rights. And then finally, from IGN, those who own Fallout 4 via PS Plus Collection do not get a free next-gen update. Bethesda has now confirmed. And that's it for Wii News.
That's it, everybody.
Fighting game heavy Wii News. I love that Akuma's back.
Oh, yeah.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
Before we get out of here, let's look at some more super chats. There's one I started to read earlier that I cut off because it was about challengers. And so I'm scrolling back trying to find it. Yeah, we got a lot of new Kinda Funny members. Yeah, shout out to all of you.
Thank you for all of your support.
And y'all doing the dang thing. Here we go. Mike the Meme writes in and says, "Hey, Bless, I saw challengers this weekend. Love it. I ended up buying 2K Topspin and actually enjoying it as well." Tim, both me and you saw challengers this weekend.
We did.
Separately.
Separately. And so did Joey. It was funny because me and Gia went to watch the movie. And as we were leaving the theater, I was like, wait, that's Joey. What the fuck?
Hell yeah.
Same theater. And my God.
What a movie.
Y'all need to watch Challengers. It is fan-fucking-tastic. And it is so much more fun than I even expected. And I expected it to be damn fun.
Yeah. It was such a fantastic time. I put in my Letterboxd review. If you're going for the threesomes, you might be a little disappointed. But if you're going for the tennis, whoa, what a film. What a film.
You really? I was not disappointed at all.
In the threesomes?
I don't think I've ever seen more sexual tension in
No, the sexual tension was there. The sexual tension, fucking great. But, like, I don't want to spoil the threesome aspect of it. But I thought we were going to get more from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bless, did you find a couple?
No. I did go alone, though. I went alone.
Proud of you.
I got a seat in the back row. I got there. There was one other guy in the back row with me. I was like, cool, we're going to be challengers, buds. And we were. It was great.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic. But yeah, great film. Great movie. Y'all should go out and see it. Let's see here. Dear Sixlet says, with anime being huge in the West right now, this is Disney's inroad into an anime-centric fan base that'll appeal to newer anime fans.
1,000%, man. Like, just look at the content that is happening right now on streaming services. Like, look at the animated stuff that we're getting. X-Men 97 is a great example. The upcoming Ninja Turtle show, the last Ninja Turtle show, Rise of the Turtles. Like, there's so much more authentic anime influence than there's ever been. And yeah, Kingdom Hearts is a perfect thing for that.
CJ Splitson says the Chip and Dale movie just said multiverse Disney.
It did. You still need to watch that, Bless.
Oh, it's so good.
Do I, though?
You do. You so actually good. Do.
Because, like, how much of that is going to be repeated in this Kingdom Hearts movie? Kingdom Hearts movie is going to be Chip and Dale for anime nerds.
No, it's not.
Which is me. Like, I'm going to be there day one, but...
Also, y'all want to follow up on the Returnal story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dark Horse Comics also tweeted out, retweeted that, and said tomorrow as well. So it seems to be comic book related.
Oh, comic book.
Right. Fair.
DJ Kento says magnets are safe around modern tech, Blessing. We don't really use magnetic tape or discs for information storage age anymore.
Yeah.
Glad to hear we figured that out. And then DJ Kento says, any chance for HDR on a new Nintendo console, Dolby Vision or Atmos? They do have modern streaming services that use them.
I expect it.
How would that... So with HDR on Nintendo Switch 2, like, am I getting HDR on my portable screen? Or, like, would it be for the TV?
Perhaps. I think that the TV for sure, but we're not for sure, but I expect it.
Yeah.
Is
HDR possible on a portable? Like, or would it be, would it make sense for a portable screen?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Steam Deck, baby.
Yeah, if we have that and the OLED, I could see those colors popping.
Well, that's my problem. I don't think it's going to be OLED. All the reports are it's not, which fucks.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's good. But you'll get it eventually.
I know.
You'll just have to wait like 3 years.
Yeah, it just sucks. I just want it now.
Oh, man. Well, that's it for Super Chats. Of course, we got kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Gary the Third says a Fallout update is available for all players. I'm going to click in the link to see which update you're talking about specifically. This comes from Wario64. People are saying you can get the free next gen upgrade from the PS Plus collection now, not just for PS Plus. So
against what?
So what Bethesda confirmed is now being deconfirmed. Is that what's happening? And this is from, when is this from? Oh yeah, this during the show. This is from 10:23 a.m. from Mario 64.
So I wonder if they were trying to have like the automatic update from the PS4 version work for people who got it through PlayStation Plus, but they couldn't get that to work. So you can just get the different SKU from the
Mario 64 took the statement back. Says Bandai
Son. Oh, okay.
I'm so confused.
We're back to where we started.
But like
PS Plus does not get the update.
But Mario 64 in this post I'm looking at says he deleted his post. His earlier post. I think this post that we're talking about might be the latest thing.
Oh shit, okay. Well, everybody.
Yo, if you have,
let's have Greg.
If you have PS Plus collection, go see if you can play Fallout 4 on PS5.
Yeah.
Like, go check. Just go check and see. Figure it out yourself. I got nothing for you. I'm sorry. And that's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tim.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a fantastic first KG
really
of the new era
of
Kind of Funny.
It's about to roll in to the new era Kind of Funny continued with Gamescast live. Todd Howard, Greg Miller.
Look forward to it. Greg needs to ask about New Vegas. I hope he does.
Hope he does too.
Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Enjoy the Gamescast next and the stream after. But until next time, Game Daily.